Well, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Sometimes I mumble. In reflecting on what has been my topic over the last several months, the discipleship. I had an interesting conversation with somebody this week in discipleship, and it was kind of grounded in chapter 10. It led lots of other really neat places, as often it does, but we're not going to go there today. We don't have time. But in chapter 10 of Romans, in starting in verse 3, says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own," we've got a problem there. And what it's really pointing out is that many times we think our own righteousness is going to be sufficient for getting us into heaven for eternal life. Clearly, that's not so. So, they seek to establish their own. They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, he came and fulfilled righteousness, right? We trust in him. We are considered righteousness at the point of salvation. For Moses writes that man who practices the righteousness, which is better, which is based on law, shall live by that righteousness. But here it comes. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. So, point being is, what is this saying, and why is Paul writing this in Romans, and where is he coming from, and where is he going? With the Jews, they believed that they could achieve righteousness on their own. How? By following the law, right? So they strove to be able to accomplish that. What Paul's saying is, you cannot achieve righteousness on your own. It's impossible. It's only found in Christ. So to continue to desire to seek righteousness, to achieve righteousness on your own, is to bring God, Christ, down from heaven. Makes sense, because we're thinking, I don't need Jesus. I can do this on my own. And so if I can do it on my own, I'm bringing him down. I'm lowering him. Point being, if we look at the thought of righteousness and that we can achieve it ourselves, if for me to believe I can achieve righteousness on my own, if I don't understand that I cannot do that, I'm not going to see a need for a Savior. So as we talk with people about salvation, if we talk with people about the cross and the power of the cross, if we don't establish right in the beginning that we are all in need of a Savior, that we have no ability on our own. The first three chapters of the book of Romans is all about that. We all are in a like condition. But if I don't truly believe that, if I believe that there's anything good in me that can help me to achieve salvation, then I don't need Jesus. I'm bringing him down. So the salvation part is bringing Jesus down from heaven, but who will descend into the abyss? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. The second part of this is, if I think that I can pay the penalty for the sin that I've committed, then Jesus didn't have to pay the penalty. Do you get it? So one of the things that we all battle is we have a misunderstanding or a misappropriation of who we are in comparison to God. We think we're a whole lot better than we are. We refuse to accept the fact that we are a whole lot better than we think, or a whole lot worse than we think we are. And we believe that we can either behave in such a manner of our own strength that it would warrant salvation, or we believe we can pay the price, do penitence, do these types of things that will pay for the wrong that I've done. None of those things are true. And so when Paul is laying this out, he wants us to understand that it's Christ and Christ alone. When we look at in discipleship, one of the things we talk about is doctrines, different doctrines, so that you can then begin to put together, okay, these are the truths of God's word, and I need to follow the truths of God's word. If I'm just going to run back over here real quick, I'm not going to chase this very long, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and you don't need to go there, but I'm going to. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, but because the Lord loved you, why? Because he loved you. You know what? That's something that many people I find believe God loves other people, but they don't believe God loves me. You know, I don't know if you ever know somebody like that, but they'll just feel like, well, God just can't love me. God knows all about me, and I know all about me. And if I were him, I wouldn't love me. Right? So, but the problem is the reality is he's not us. So he's not loving you and me because of who we are and how we do. He loves us because he chose to love us. It's because of who he is. So he says in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to his forefather, to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant, his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So this is the God who loves us and has made the determination beforehand he was going to love us. And in Deuteronomy 30, we see something that I find great comfort in the clarity. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, I'll go back up to verse 9. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, what's he telling us to do? Obey out of a love for him. Not obey out of a fear of punishment, but obey because he chose to love you. He chose to love me when we were lost in our sins. That was a decision he made. And he's saying, so trust that I have your best in my heart. When I'm telling you do something, do it. Don't do it because you're afraid that, you know, fire's going to rain down out of heaven. Do it because you believe that I love you. Do it out of a return love for me, and things are going to go well for you. So don't try to think you're going to do it yourself. You can't be righteous enough, okay? Don't attempt to pull Jesus down out of heaven by doing that. Recognize, Lord, if not for you, I would be lost. Don't try to pay the penalty for the things you've done wrong. You can't pay it. Just receive the gift of God, the gift of Christ on the cross. Share that hope with other people. Because now it's not all of a sudden an ability of my ability to follow step by step what the Bible is telling me to do. It's a matter of receive this gift. It's a free gift. Receive it. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for the way that you remind us in the words of your book. Going back into the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is not a new message, Lord. You love us. You chose us not based on the fact that we were a great and powerful or intelligent nation. You tell us that absolutely wasn't true. You chose us for your own purposes. And Lord, we just want to receive that truth from you. Lord, we want to extend that hope to others. We thank you for the opportunity to do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.